Magandang umaga and welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, EJ David, joining you from the Gayakuk, the lands of the Dena'ina. Today is the first day of November, and November is Native Heritage Month. Since 1990, federal, state, and local governments have recognized November as Native Heritage Month to celebrate and honor America's indigenous peoples. November is such an interesting time for Native peoples, though, as it is right after Halloween, when many folks still commonly dress up in stereotypical Native costumes, and it is also the month when Thanksgiving happens, a holiday that is fraught with many problematic portrayals of history and of Native peoples. And so today, we talk about these and many other relevant issues pertaining to Native Heritage Month. We have three amazing guests joining us with our discussion. The first is Sandra Shaganoff-Stewart, who is Atna Dene in Paiute. Sandra is a tribal citizen of Chickaloo Native Village, and she is a wife and a mother of three wonderful men. She currently lives in Kotnu, which is Kenai. Sandra is a standing committee member on the Kenaitse Indian Tribes Education Committee. Even though she is a language learner, she would like to develop ways for the Atna language to grow in our communities and the world. She hopes to honor her family and ancestors by sharing what she has learned, especially with the younger generations. Sandra graduated with a master's degree in applied linguistics from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, with her project focusing on task-based language teaching to teach Native language to the youth through cultural projects. She is currently the chair of the Alaska Native Studies Department at UAA. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Willy Sagan. Willy Jan and Tabeta, Jan and Nagamikto Vista, Chinan Nakotani Naschute Naschei, Chuchatna, Dansa, Kotana, Danana, Gushna, Et Ista, Danainak, Et Lanak, Gushna, Chukoyashtu, Nishkanas Tabeta, Wellitsepani Nikasat, Sandra Shaganoff Stewart, Kashka Vasa'a, he's at the end. Night bini ana kayak chin ziadam. Talchina kuyra kura eslan, UAA chair of Alaska Native Studies, es atna, kanagat kadakhtel dihen, ga vasna, chinan. How is everyone? Blessing and healing for our ancestors. We recognize that we live and work in the land of the Kukulent, where the Dena'ina and the Atna people have lived for thousands of years. We respectfully recognize these indigenous people who have stewarded their land. We look to have a really good meeting today. And my name is Sandra Shaganoff-Stewart, Water Clan and Fishtail people from Chickaloo Village and Pyramid Lake. And as I stated, and EJ stated, I work as the chair of the Alaska Native Studies and teach the Atna Dene language, one of the dual Dene language of the Matsu area. Thank you.
Salamat, Sandra. Thank you for joining us this morning. Also joining us is Samuel Johns. He is Atna and Gwich'in with family from Copper Center and Arctic Village. Sam has lived in Anchorage with his family since 2005. Sam, who is also known as AK Rebel, is a rapper, father, motivational speaker, and performer. Among the many things he has done in the community is starting the Forget Me Not group, which is a group that reconnects homeless individuals with their families, friends, and culture. Good morning, Sam.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, sharing my thoughts on this subject.
Salamat. Thank you for joining us this morning, Sam. And our third guest is Ayu Kasatsak, who is a Nupiak from Unalaklik, currently residing in the Dena'ina lands in the Gayakuk with her four children. She is an activist for the self-determination of Alaska Native peoples and currently serves as the vice president for First Alaskans Institute. She works closely with the leadership team to center indigenous knowledge and wisdom, amplify the self-determination of Native peoples, and unify the collective strength of our community. Recognizing a shared responsibility to contribute our individual gifts for the betterment of our community, IU works to advance healing, awareness, and advocacy around the challenges and opportunities that face our Native communities. Good morning, IU.
Uf laloatak. Good morning, brother. So nice to be here with all of you. Ayulurunga, Ungalaklik Milurunga. I'm IU Kasatak. I come from Ungalaklik, and I am incredibly excited for the conversation we're going to have together. Salamat for having us.
I am excited for all of you to be here this morning. And to our listeners, you can join the conversation too. Do you have thoughts about Native Heritage Month? What were you taught in school as you were growing up about America's indigenous peoples? Halloween just ended. It was just yesterday. Did you see anybody dress up as a, quote, Indian for Halloween? You can call us at 1-888-353-5752. Or if you're in Anchorage, call us at 550-8433. You can also reach us by email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right, so let's begin. I'm so excited. So today, as I mentioned earlier, is the first day of Native Heritage Month. So Sandra, let's start with you. Why is it necessary to have a month be recognized as Native Heritage Month?
Well, I'd like it to be recognized every day.
Yes.
all the time, and that's what I do. I try as best that I can not to just have it for 1 month, but it is very important to recognize our people. If it's, you know, wearing our regalia, saying our language, being able to express who we are and feel safe to do that, and also encourage our younger people to do that, and not have that barrier of thinking about what it was like for our parents or the way we grew up. So it is very important to have this month recognized so that we can focus on the positivity and also have that moment to talk about maybe our history from our perspective. And maybe do a little healing on the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's key. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, talking about it from your perspective, and also have a little bit of healing along the way. I'm sure we'll get back to all of those, you know, very big topics in the next hour here. What about Sam? Mm-hmm. Sam, why do you think it's necessary to have Native Heritage Month?
Well, I don't know. I feel like it's important to acknowledge like the existence of who's still here, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of continuing to like generalize and put all Native Americans into a melting pot of like folklore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, like, it's good that indigenous, like, we get a day to represent ourselves because we can still show people we're still here. Like, I'm sure there's white people that drive by and see us and like, oh, hey, mm-hmm. they're still around. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think it's important for us to have, you know, have a way to express ourselves. And, you know, like, even as a child, you know, me, like, you know, I thought, you know, just going to school and doing the Pledge of Allegiance and everything, I felt like fully American to where I didn't really, you know, I kind of felt like I was just American, you know, I didn't have anything to represent myself. I didn't have a national holiday or anything. Mm-hmm. So having a day to where I can actually be like, whoa, I'm actually something. I'm not just like, you know, a part of the American melting pot. I actually am. An indigenous person from a specific area of this land, and you know, I get to represent that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you bring up some excellent points there about how you grew up taking the Pledge of Allegiance every day at school, right? Whereas here we're just talking about, you know, Native Heritage Month, or maybe we have Indigenous Peoples Day, you know, which is not every day, you know, as Sandra noted. right? And also, you know, you mentioned this idea of a melting pot, right? Which on the surface seems to be a positive thing, but we have to remember that a melting pot tends to erase, right, our uniqueness too. So thanks for bringing that up. What about IU? IU, what are your thoughts on this Native Heritage Month?
So many thoughts. Uh-huh. I'm totally with Sandra and Sam. You know, I think that there should be Native Heritage Day, year, life, you know, uplifting the first and forever stewards of the places that each of us call home, I think is something that only enriches, you know, our understanding of the places that we live, because everywhere we are, we're on Indigenous land. And we're the first and forever stewards of all of these places. You know, within Indigenous cultures, our practices, our languages, there's place-based geographic intelligence that is born from these lands that, you know, makes our understanding of the places that we call home richer, stronger. It helps us to be living more in connection with our lands and our waters. I think Alaska Native Heritage Month, you know, having a month dedicated to it is a step. I think that it recognizes that currently our knowledges and history are not currently reflected in the things that we're taught. And I feel like it creates kind of a placeholder to uplift knowledges that you don't normally get as part of your so-called everyday education. But I think it also begs the question, what are we receiving in our everyday education? I think that folks tend to think that the rest of the time when we're not focused on Alaska Native Heritage Month, or, you know, last month was Filipino, right, Heritage Month, or Black History Month is coming up in a couple months. Like, there seems to be this idea that when we're not focused on those heritage months, that the rest of the time it's neutral. But that time and that space is filled with something. So being able to think about that critically and then say, well, you know, how does the history that we've been taught change when Indigenous people's perspectives are included or centered? I think it's a great opportunity for asking those kinds of questions.
Yeah. Thank you, IU. That's, you know, you bring up a lot of points there, you know, a very important points that we will touch on too throughout the hour here. But, you know, one thing that I want to ask about right now, you know, all of you mentioned how there's a lot lacking, right? A lot of education and information and knowledge, at least true, critical, accurate knowledge about Native history and Native peoples seem to be lacking significantly in our educational system, but also just in society in general. You know, so that's one problem. But then also, I guess part of the same coin is that, you know, whatever little information or representation about Native people that is out there, you know, tend to be distorted or stereotypical, right? So, for example, just recently there was that teacher in California who was filmed by a Native student as the teacher put on like a fake headdress and pranced around the classroom doing, you know, stereotypical portrayals of Native people, right? And then that is similar to, like, today, how many sports teams still use Native peoples as mascots. And then Halloween was just yesterday, and every year it seems like there are always many examples of people who still dress up as stereotypical Natives. So what are your thoughts on these? Let's start with, I'm going to go backwards this time. I'm going to go IU first.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, this time of year, I'll speak for myself here. I always brace myself because it's when on full display is America's lack of understanding about how hurtful and misrepresented so much of our cultures are. You know, through the examples that you gave of the teacher in California, who, by the way, is, you know, carrying out a lesson that is actually widely known and practiced.
Yes.
So it's what she did, she just happened to be caught on camera. Mm-hmm. It's a lesson and methodology that's, you know, carried throughout the country quite often. Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, like you mentioned, Halloween, and then what just happened was the World Series or some big uh-huh. baseball thing that was happening with the Atlanta Braves.
Yep.
And I just kept seeing popping up in my feed, you yep. know, Native people being angry that we're still having to, you know, call out the racist, stereotypical imagery that mm-hmm. people are deploying in the name of their sports teams and what have you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with it comes a lot of opportunity. You know, Indigenous Peoples Heritage Month is an opportunity for uplifting Native culture. Indigenous Peoples Day, which was last month, mm-hmm. is another opportunity for helping to create some counter narrative. But I would say it's just kind of an exhausting time of year mm-hmm. to be Native.
Mm. That is a very important point. I think, you know, it can get exhausting having to constantly educate, right, and resist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Sam? What are your thoughts on Native imagery in sports and Halloween and whatnot?
I think it could be... oh, my God, like... Just, you know, me knowing that, you know, there are times where you just feel like you have to stand up for your people, you know?
Mm.
But then there are times where you're with your kids and you're like, dang, do I want to waste my energy right now?
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think other people understand that, you know? Like, I don't think other people understand that I have to make that decision, which is kind of painful to me. Like, if I take my kids to Spirit Halloween, right, and we're going and having a good time, and then my kid, like, my six-year-old sees, like, a Cherokee princess, and she's like, whoa, look, there's a Native, and I want to explain to her how problematic that is, but at the same time, I don't want to, like, ruin the moment, and, you know, I just want my kids to have a good time, you know, but at the same time, I have to, like, make this a teaching moment. But how far do I take that? Like, do I bring it up to the, you know, do I bring it up to the counter? Do I, you know, so like, it's tiring. It is, because just even the mental, your mental of it, just thinking of it, you know, just sitting there when you're just trying to have a good time with your kids, trying to look for a costume, and then you see like something, you know, a headdress, and you're like, man, I want to just grab this and throw it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to throw it in the trash can because I don't want to see a non-Indigenous person wearing it. But at the same time, I don't want my kids. I want to create good memories for my kids. You know,
mm-hmm.
I want us to go out and just, my life is already full of trauma, you know?
Mm.
So I don't want to, so it's always, yeah, it is tiring. It is a tiring time of the year because you have to make decisions on when or how you want to approach things when all you're trying to do is just pick out a costume, like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And or same thing with the baseball game. Like, I'm sure there's a Native American that has a good heart for his people, like someone out there that just worked hard, paid for a ticket, went to a game to take his kid and saw racist thing and was like, oh my God, do I want to like cause a scene right now, or do I just want to enjoy the game with my kid? I think non-natives don't really understand that, you know, when it comes to like this time of the year where we have to make these mental decisions, and it kind of hurts us because we're kind of just taking a loss, you know, like not us but me, like going to Spirit Halloween and being quiet, I feel like I submitted. You know?
Yep, yep.
And I should just feel like I just went to go get a Halloween costume with my kids and had a good time. But I still remember that right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, dang, did I submit? Am I, you know?
Yep.
Did I just like, just stay quiet?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so yeah, it is kind of tiring.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, as Ayu was saying, it really takes a toll, right? Spiritual, physical, psychological, emotional toll on people to constantly, you know, face this dilemma, right? There's a lot of different dilemmas here, but, you know, I think one of the things I want to highlight is, you know, if you do something, right, are you, you know, perhaps putting more stress on you and, you know, and also your children or your family? But then if you don't do anything, then you feel like you're a sellout, right?
Exactly.
So it's like a catch-22, or you feel like you're weak because you didn't do something, you know, to step up. Yeah, so I hear you.
Yeah.
What about you, Sandra? What do you think about all this? Is now like an especially exhausting and difficult time to be Native?
It is when you see people still wanting to dress up like a Native person as a costume, as, you know, a lot of it isn't a costume, it's a regalia, and thinking that it's just a character. They're just characters, and we can be a character, you know, and that there's a culture that's behind it all. The one thing that gets to me is, like, just even looking through the costumes, you know, I'm looking through them for my granddaughter or you know, just remembering, you know, when my kids were little, I see, you know, a really scanty dress that's a Native dress, and it's still out there. And I just go, oh, my gosh, it's still portrayed in that way, like, you know, Native women are just objects of sexuality, and they can just be, they're just a character, and that's how they are, and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And then we have our Native women that are being murdered and not even recognized for that they are even missing. Those things are still out there. And thank goodness there's been a lot of press. There's been a lot of people talking about it, and they're getting the word out there.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the things that I always think about when I look through the outfits, and I hear you, Sam, when you say you just want to take it off and just throw it on the ground.
Yeah.
But, you know, people just don't know, or they don't think about that, or they're not around it, or they're not exposed to what it feels like to be a Native person during this time. They don't know. They just don't know, and the education isn't out there. They don't have these discussions. They're trying to have a good time, or maybe they do know, and they are making that statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are things that I think that are always kind of like in the back of your mind when you go out to try to have a good time with your family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Sandra. I think a lot of people will say, "Oh, you're being overly sensitive," you know. But I think it's important to remember that these are not harmless things, right? So I think all of you talked about how it inflicts a psychological toll on you all the time. But then thank you for bringing up, the objectification of Native women specifically, and how that is connected to, you know, the high rates of murdered and missing Indigenous women as well. So thank you so much. Whew, we are just getting started right now. We have to take a break real quick. But after the break, we will go into perhaps an even more serious discussion. I will ask our guests about their thoughts about Thanksgiving. So, you are listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. This is EJ David speaking with Ayu Kasatsak, Sandra Shaganoff-Stewart, and Samuel Johns about Native Heritage Month. You can join the conversation by calling 1-888-353-5752 or 907-550-8433. You can also email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back.
Listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. For more information about this episode, visit us online at alaskapublic.org.
The conversations you hear on Hometown Alaska are focused on the needs and voices of Alaskans, and the generosity of Alaskans brings them to you. Join your neighbors and become a member of your public radio station today.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. This is EJ David. I am speaking with Ayu Kasatuk, Sandra Shaganow-Stewart, and Samuel Johns about Native Heritage Month. You can join the conversation too by calling us at 1-888-353-5752 or 907-550-8433. Or you can also email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. All right, so prior to the break, we're talking about Halloween costumes and Native mascots and other such things. But now I'm going to shift gears a little bit and ask our guests about Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving is coming up. Thanksgiving also happens in November during Native Heritage Month. Thanksgiving is a huge American holiday, perhaps the biggest. So I want to ask our guests, what did you learn about Thanksgiving from school when you were younger? I'm going to start with Sam this time. Go ahead, Sam.
let's see, what did I learn? I learned that there was some fairy tale of pilgrims and Indians having turkey together. And, you know, they lived happily ever after. And that was my imagery for like my whole elementary years. And, you know, I think that that kind of helped with the assimilation process of erasing who I am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like just again, submitting to society and just playing along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think as we get older, you start learning more and more of the truth, and you kind of feel funny about things, you know, Thanksgiving. Mm. But with Native Movement, I got the opportunity to go to New York a couple of years ago, and this guy, he came and he spoke. His name is Sachin Hawkstorm, I think. Mm-hmm. And he got to talk about Thanksgiving. He's indigenous from that area, the New York area. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, like, at the time I was like, I don't really know how to celebrate this holiday. Like, I don't know. I don't want to continue perpetuating this fairy tale. Mm-hmm. So hearing him speak, though, changed my like whole thoughts on it. He was saying how, like, he believes if his great grandfather, or, you know, his ancestors were here today, mm-hmm. they wouldn't tell us to not have dinner together. Mm-hmm. They would tell us to talk about whose land we're on, mm-hmm. so we can use that day to talk about who still exists. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. enjoy your dinner, mm-hmm. have fun, have, you know, great memories with your family, no matter who you are. But, like, before you do that, just acknowledge mm-hmm. that you're, like, right here, Anchorage, Alaska, you're in Dena'ina territory. They're still alive, still here, they still exist. You know, just paying respects and paying knowledge and letting your kids know mm-hmm. whose land they're on. That mm-hmm. creates empathy, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's really powerful. And hearing him say that really helped me out a lot. It reminded me that I'm Otna and Nitsaikwichin. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad's Otna from Copper Center. My mom is Arctic Village. Mm. I'm in Anchorage. I'm not from here. So I still have to pay respect, like, mm-hmm. acknowledge whose land I'm on. And it just made me think I'm on Dena'ina territory.
Thank you. Thank you, Sam. What about you, Sandra? Thoughts on Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving. Well, as a child, you know, you get to do a play, and everybody, it's a big deal, and everybody comes, and you know, and it just, like Sam says, you know, it was this story that you get to react, uh-huh. you know, replay this story, and I was thinking when I was a child, I was thinking, oh, I get to dress up like a Native person. Oh, great, you know. But not knowing the context of what this is all really about. And then growing up, I knew that that's not what I wanted my sons to know and believe in, because it was a lie. And Native people know the land. They knew the land. They knew how to survive. They knew how to live abundantly. Mm-hmm. And because of that knowledge, people were able to survive in this land. And they were generous enough to offer that support. And I think that that's a message that could be offered. And I like what you said, Sam, about, you know, having that dinner. That dinner is about, you know, people coming together. It doesn't have to be about that clay or anything like that. It's about us being grateful. And same here. I don't live in my land of where my mom and my father are from. I live in Kaknu, Dena'ina, Dena'ina land. And I respect the people here. I've learned their language because I respect them. And that's the message I think Thanksgiving should be about, is who do you live on? Whose land do you live on? Who are the people that are from the area you have dinner with? Mm-hmm. And your family have dinner with? Mm-hmm. And recognizing those people and giving thanks for those people. Because I've been through a lot.
Yep.
And I appreciate that message, a stronger message of that, rather than the pilgrim message.
Thank you, Sandra. What about you, IU? Complexities of Thanksgiving for you?
Yeah, well, just thinking about what we were taught growing up, in which, you know, having four children going through the current education system, I can say, is largely still the same. You know, this narrative, this myth of a peaceful coming together where the indigenous peoples of the land, the Wampanoag, who are almost never named, that they brought corn and squash and beans, and the pilgrims brought what they brought, and they just sat together and gave thanks that we're all together on this land now. And it creates this really nice picture, right, of like the beginning of a peaceful country. But that myth completely hides the conflict that Indigenous peoples have experienced from colonizers and settlers since the very beginning. And by not acknowledging like the truer, fuller version, not version, but the truer picture of the history, it leads you to believe that any challenges that we experience now as Native peoples must be due to something that's wrong with us, because there's no context that, oh, there's this history of violence that, you know, our communities have experienced that have far-reaching generational impacts that still show up today. And so it feels like that's kind of one of the beginnings of where the history gets carefully hidden behind a veil. And for Native students, you know, it might be the only time Native people are talked about in the classroom. And so, you know, I think like Sandra was saying, you know, getting to dress up as a Native person, like, that's exciting. It's like the one time you can put on the clothing of your who you are or represent, but it can be very confusing because, you know, portrayals of Native people are so often not treated with care. And so there's so much more to say about this, so I want to maybe uplift a conversation that EJ and I had an opportunity to participate in a couple years ago, pre-COVID, called Truthsgiving, that our sister Alice Kanik Glenn, in her Coffee and Kwok podcast, she recorded two podcasts, us talking about Truthsgiving and then the audience Q&A afterward. And so we got into much more detail about kind of the harmful nature, not only of the misnarratives related to Thanksgiving, but also more generally the mistreatment of our histories of Native people.
Yeah, so check that out. Yeah, I think that's a great conversation. Thank you for plugging that work, that podcast, because there's a lot of truths I think that were shared during that. So if you're listening, we recommend checking that out. So thank you. Next, what I want to do next, I think, you know, a lot of what we touched on so far is captured in a powerful song produced by Sam Johns, or AK Rebel, that also featured IU. This is my son's favorite song, and I think it's appropriate that we listen to a clip of it and then have our guests briefly comment on it and just share their reactions to it. So this is Rise by AK Rebel featuring Janya, IU, and Byron Nikolai.
We have never been defeated. Others have tried to remove our knowledge through religion and the education systems. They've always tried to sever our connections to our lands, our waters, and our rights. But what they didn't know was that killing the Indian to save the man would only strengthen our fight to protect what is ours, to be who we've always been. We have always been here. We will always be here.
Said we will rise.
We will rise again and again and again.
But we'll rise again. Stand tall.
Let's go. When they silence our ways, seeds of resistance were planted. Now we're standing as one from all over the planet. We are growing, we are blooming, we are joining every movement. We are showing how we do it. Rise is one, now let's pursue it. Shout out to the ones that stand in rock. Camp is gone, but we'll never stop. The fire with them, it can't be bought, cause the fire with them is burning hot. Look around, this is all we got. I'm standing firm on my grandpa's lot. Protect the land, protect the people, cause they never understand that Sermon Eagle. They'll never understand our sacred ways. Take me back to my sister's days. Take me back to my elder's wisdom. Take me back to when I can listen. Take me back to my original name. Away from all this capitalistic shame. Take me back to that sacred beast. Take us back to before that feast. Take me back to when we were healthy, when we didn't need money to feel wealthy. Take me back to when we were sacred. No more shame, no more hatred.
I'm making milk is sacred again.
Amen.
Said we will rise, then we'll fall, but we'll rise again, and we'll stand tall. Cause we were made for more than this. Yeah, we were made for more than this. You were made for more than this. Cause we were made.
That is such a powerful song. Still gives me goosebumps to this day. So, Sandra, just real quick, any reactions to the song?
Yes, it really helps to hear our people encourage others to see what, you know, the struggle. I could feel the struggle in this song, and I can also feel the solidarity of us coming together, that nobody's going to knock us down.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what comes ahead of us, there's been so many things that have happened that it's going to push us through anyways. It really is a powerful statement and also a powerful message to give to others and to remember.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate that. I appreciate your words, Sam and Ayu.
Mm-hmm. Ayu, what are your thoughts on it now?
I got emotional listening to it. You know, that was a song that we created together at a particularly difficult time of my life. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me to feel that despite all of the complexities that our life throws at us, something that is incredibly powerful to be living in this time is the collective awakening that we're in, where Native peoples are reclaiming our ancestral birthright, our knowledge, our histories, our languages, our practices, the things that help us to be healthy and whole. And, you know, we are engaging in that, and the rest of the world is starting to wake up to it as well. And it was very healing to be able to be part of that. So, Janan Koyanokbak to Sam for inviting me in to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And then Sam, real quick, man, what are your thoughts on it now?
I'm just happy that I followed my heart and just let everybody that was a part of it lead, you know. I mean, the only one I think I directed was my daughter, and I just told her what to say. But I don't know. I know that was one of the things that it was like a nudge from the creator, just letting me know, hey, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I was feeling pretty godless at the time, angry, and that whole process of making that showed me that everything that aligned together to make that video, just, you know, I wasn't me. I never went to school for stuff like that. I don't know how it came together so well.
Well, Sam, it's helped a lot of people, and I think it's healed a lot of people. So I appreciate you putting that out into the world. Real quick, though, we have to take a break right now. To our listeners, this is Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. This is EJ David with Ayu Kasatsak, Sandra Shaganoff-Stewart, and Samuel Johns. You can join the conversation statewide by calling 1-888-353-5752 or 907-550-8433. You can also email us at hometown@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska on Alaska Public Media. You can find Hometown Alaska on alaskapublic.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. This is EJ David speaking with Ayu Kasatsak, Sandra Shaganoff-Stewart, and Samuel Johns. I just want to get back into our questions here real quick. All three of you have talked about the limitations of our educational system. So although, you know, many things must change with regard to information and representation and imagery of Native peoples, but if there's one thing that you want to see happen immediately in our school systems, what would that be? Sam, let's start with you this time.
I think one of the growing problems in this country right now, well, not it's been, but lack of empathy, you know? and we don't have empathy. I'm not trying to like debate with anyone right now about masks, but just the whole idea of masks just to protect other people. But there's some people that are ignorant towards that, you know, and I feel like a lot of that stems from growing up in a home with no empathy. So I feel like one of the things that would help with that with children is if they were able to, now I'm not trying to like have anyone get mad at me, but if we could stop doing the Pledge of Allegiance in schools and start doing land acknowledgement, that would create empathy systematically over time. And just repeating that every day, acknowledge whose land they're on, it would create empathy. It'll just be normalized. And it'll be a really beautiful thing because kids will know whose land they're on. And, you know, I think that whole Pledge of Allegiance is a very conquering thing to start off in the morning. You know? It's a very, like a Napoleon complex to start off in the day. And it doesn't really help with the empathy. And that's one of the things I would do is replace the Pledge of Allegiance with the land acknowledgement so that, you know, try and see how that can help with, like, emotional intelligence, empathy.
Hey, so I want to go to IU here real quick because I know IU's had a lot of experience with our educational system. And so I just want to get your thoughts on this, sister, and if you want to, you know, share some of your experiences too, please feel free.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I'm thankful for the question. You know, it threw me back to the springtime, you know, when my oldest son was preparing to graduate from high school here in Dagayakok, Anchorage, on Dena'ina lands, and the sealskin cap that I had sewn for myself and for my children to be able to wear and to pass down in our family was taken from him as he was preparing to enter the field for the graduation ceremony. And how, you know, that really was, it was an incredibly painful experience that was symptomatic of of the problem that we have in our education system. You know, the superintendent called me the next day and was apologizing and just saying how she really couldn't understand how that could have happened in the first place. Like, surely, you know, the officials and the educators within the school district knew better than to take what is clearly a, you know, a piece of cultural significance, regalia for us. And that, you know, she was going to work hard to make sure that didn't happen again. But for me, what I told her was that I actually wasn't surprised that that happened at all, because I know the person who took his cap. It's a person that I grew up with here in Anchorage, who I graduated from high school with. And he is a product of this school district just as I am. And so he has grown into an adult who has an utter lack of knowledge of Alaska Native people, our cultures, our knowledges, and it showed up in that one act. And so what I asked her is, you know, something has to change, because a big part of what's missing from Alaskans' knowledge about the education system that we've all inherited is that the education system was formed here in Alaska with the express purpose of assimilating Native people. You know, there's a history of mental, emotional, and even physical violence targeting Alaska Native people that's associated with our education system and religion. And that was part of what drove me to study that, you know, the missionization of our peoples and the formation of the education system for my thesis. You know, not knowing that history of violence against Alaska Native people, coupled with a lack of careful, intentional teachings about us, by us, breeds a society that doesn't understand the legacies that we've inherited from our history. Because, you know, I know we're celebrating Native History Month, but let's be real. Native history is Alaska history. This is the history of this place. And so what I asked of her, and she committed to me, is that the school district would enact an annual mandatory training for all educators within the district that is informed and guided by Native peoples about us, about our histories, and about the history of the education system, and then tackling, you know, what is taught in our schools. It's baby steps at that point, but we're working on it. But that's part of what I think absolutely needs to happen.
Yeah, thank you for sharing your story there. I know it was painful, and it continues to be painful. You know, you say baby steps. You know, sometimes it gets to me too, how something seemingly, you know, small and trivial to many of us still faces a lot of resistance, right? So I feel you, and thank you for sharing that.
Can I say one more
thing? Sure.
you jogged my memory. I'm sorry. When I was asking the superintendent for that, you know, she was kind of responding and saying, oh, it's such a big system. And, you know, just, yes, we need to make these changes, but please be patient. And, you know, I had to uplift the fact that Native peoples have been patient and receiving harm from this system for generations. You know, my son experienced the violence with, you know, the cat being taken from him. I experienced it here growing up in Anchorage School District, being bullied and beat up on the playground for being Native. My mom was taken from her community and sent to boarding school. I mean, we're talking generations of violence that continues to be inflicted against Native people through the education system. How patient do we need to be, knowing that not fixing it is going to just continue the harm? So there's an urgency that we feel as Native peoples that others who don't experience the kind of harms that we experience don't feel the urgency of. And I hope that conversations like this can help them to see how important it is, not only for us, but for all Alaskans.
Yeah, so now you jogged my own memory. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, because I think many people, including, you know, very well-intentioned people, you know, will say things like, yeah, I hear you, but, you know, progress takes time, right? And, you know, and this reminded me of one of my favorite quotes from James Baldwin, you know, who said, well, you know, my ancestors have experienced lifetimes of suffering already. I've experienced a lifetime of suffering already. You know, like what does this progress of yours look like, right? Like, how much time do you want for your progress? You know, it's been going on for a very long time already. So thank you for bringing that up. Real quick, Sandra, what are your thoughts on this? Like, what must change in our educational system?
Well, I think what needs to change is that our languages need to be in the schools, and they need to be the language of the area, the basic of the language of the area, and that it's taught the history of the people in the schools. I think that would bring so much healing, but it would also bring a lot of other stuff up because, you know, so much was lost by schools. Schools were the ones that took away our language, you know, and in some cases it's like, you know, do we put them back in the schools? Do we, you know, I think it needs to be normalized, and our languages need to be everywhere. If you're wanting to, you know, they have classes for French and Spanish and all of these other, and it's normal to have them there. But why is it not normal to have our languages there? Why is that? That's the question for me. And I've heard people say, well, you know, there's so many native languages, we just can't pick and choose, and there's so many people from so many different areas, mm-hmm. and we can't just do the basic language of where you're at. Mm. Just talk about that. Mm. Just have that language there. And I start from there, and it will grow. It will grow because you're going to build people who will have their identity and will want to be drawn to it and will want to support that. Mm-hmm. At least I have the hope of that.
You know, that's a great point. Yeah, I think, Go ahead.
I believe that language, like, I think First Alaskans coined it this year for their Elders and Youth Conference,
mm-hmm.
Language Healers. And Language mm-hmm. Healers, I believe that that is so true, because healing comes from our language, mm-hmm. from learning about the language of the people, of how they thought, how they were, and even understanding of how meanings of things. And it's just like Sam was saying, you know, like when you name things, it isn't, mm-hmm. that isn't the mentality of naming things is somebody's name. It is the mentality of thinking of practicality of what it's named for, how you use the language. You know, it's a thought, a native thought that isn't anywhere in the education system.
Mm-hmm.
A native thought where people can really grasp onto, that it brings out another point of view that I think the system needs to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, language definitely can heal people right now and can definitely heal later generations. Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Thank you so much for sharing that. So we only have like about a minute left here. I want to jump ahead and go straight to Sandra real quick. Sandra, you know, as part of UAA and as chair of Alaska Native Studies, are there any events or any celebrations that you want to share for Native Heritage Month?
Yes. Alaska Native Studies is hosting with the Diversity Committee, Faculty Senate Diversity Committee. They're having a fall diversity dialogue mm-hmm. with Alaska Native students on the 19th.
The 19th, so
and
check
many
that
more.
Out.
And yes. many more.
Oh
yes,
my goodness!
I guess, here's the music.
Yeah, we're getting played out. This topic is so important and definitely deserving of our thoughts, our hearts, and our time. So I hope you continue thinking about the Native heritage of these lands, learning about it, and discussing it with trusted and knowledgeable people. But for now, we have to say goodbye. So salamat. Thanks for joining us in Hometown Alaska. Thank you, Sandra. Thank you, Ayu. Thank you, Sam, for sharing your thoughts and experiences. Next week, tune in for Kathleen McCoy as she discusses recycling in Anchorage and the Matsu. Our audio engineer was Dave Emmert, and I'm EJ David. Salamat for listening.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.